Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this breakout session. This is Resource Development. This morning's panel consists of Colby Garrison, who is Resource Development Officer for ACB, the American Council of the Blind. We have Jolynn Bailey Page, who is the Associate Director of Resource Development, and she is on Zoom. Welcome, Jolynn.
Hello.
And then we have Scott Thornhill, who is currently the Executive Director for the American Council of the Blind. So I'm going to turn this over to Colby.
All right. Thank you, Sheila. Hello, everybody. Thank you all for coming to this session on resource development at ACB. So thank you to Jolynn for appearing early on a Saturday morning to participate with us. Jolynn's on the West Coast. But thank you to Zoom for our hosts. Thank you, Belle, and everyone for streaming. And hello to everyone on ACB Media as well. Wanted to kind of give you a brief sort of overview of how we raise funds for ACB at the national level. I can't move away from that mic. Okay. and then go from there. So ACB fundraising in general is all about relationships and building relationships, maintaining relationships. And typically there are three ways that ACB brings in money, raises funds. That is through individual giving, which would be donations from all of you. So things like our auctions, special events, MMS, our monthly recurring giving program. And then we have corporations, which is strategic kind of partnerships at the corporate level. So corporations, and then also foundations and grants. As well. So those are our three avenues just ways that money is raised at the national level. And these are all things that you can implement in your chapter or, state affiliate with FCB as well. So that's kind of an overview. And I will jump in to talk about the individual giving side of things. And then Jolynn and I will tag team on corporations, and she will talk about grants and foundations. And then we will hear from Scott, kind of on his thoughts, and then leave time for your questions as well. So, okay, they're laughing behind me, and I don't know why. But so from an individual giving perspective, we have just all different types of initiatives at the national level. So again, I'll mention everything from auctions, ably chaired and just chaired by Leslie Spoon, of course, who is the auction guru, and does it so well. There's probably none better that I can think of. And then we've got things like our walk, the Brenda Dillon Memorial Walk that we do during convention, as well as MMS, which is our monthly giving program. So you could donate a certain amount each month to ACB. And that's a really easy way for people to give. They just, you can give their credit card information. It comes out automatically. They don't have to think about it. And it's a good way to contribute. And of course, giving via MMS also means that, your affiliate can also get money as well. So that's an additional way for your affiliate to bring in some income, revenue rather. We also have our ACB Angels program, which lets you honor someone who has passed away. That is really popular. I've recently been coordinating the receipt of materials for that for our convention and at the national level. And people are it's very close to a lot of people's hearts and is a process, but it's one that, is worthwhile. So that's, of course, something you could consider contributing or consider starting in your affiliate. And another thing, I think for individual giving, I stepped into this role as development officer a little over 15 months ago at this point. And who's counting? Scott said, who's counting? And it was a leap of faith for me. I didn't have any fundraising experience. I knew pretty much nothing about it. And I'll talk more about this tonight at the banquet, but I did a lot of on-the-job learning. And one of the first things that we discovered is that inaccessibility of development-related materials for people who are blind is huge. And there are not a lot of people who are blind who are in the development field. And I mean, now I think I know why, because having access to materials is very important. And that's one of the things that I've been working on, is making the development field more accessible. And it has allowed me to see one of probably my big passions is now accessibility, as a whole. So, that's, you know, certainly something that I've learned, and it's something that we continue to talk to people about. You know, everything from grant making platforms, and how they aren't accessible. And I've seen people make changes. Our database that we use at ACB to keep track of our donors has a lot of accessibility issues, and I have started conversations with them, and they have started very slowly, but started to fix things. And so advocacy works, and as Claire and Swatha will say, keep advocating. The last sort of one of the things I'll talk about for individual giving related is ACB Strong, which is an initiative that Dan Spoon came up with and tasked me with implementing. And that is an option for people who want to and who have the capacity to give at the sort of major gift level. So you can give $1,000 a year for 3 years, hopefully, or, you know, just 1 year if that's all you can do. But that also, you know, lets income come in, and you could implement this, something like this, in an affiliate or a chapter. You know, if you know people who have that wealth, that capacity to give, you know, reach out. And so with ACB Strong, what we did is sort of laid out the key programs that ACB at the national level has, and people can choose to have their money go to a specific program or split it, you know, between several different programs so that they're making a difference in the programs that are most meaningful to them. And I'm going to jump over and pass it to Jolynn to want to tag team on corporate.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Colby. Gosh, corporate development, corporate support. It is still about relationships, and ACB's approach to corporate development is, again, to focus on personal cultivation to build those strong relationships. And over the years, we have increased both our scope and our depth of our corporate development approach. And, you know, one of the things about it is whether we receive our support from corporate foundations or through corporate sponsorships, corporations are looking for more than to just feel good about their donations. You know, philanthropy is good business for them, and supporting charitable causes, that's the corporations apart from their competition. And, you know, it raises their worth in the eyes of the public. And it's good business for them. It can raise sales, it can increase awareness of the company, and they get free publicity and goodwill. But they want to see measurable benefits. And so when we are identifying corporations, we're looking to see how we align with their priorities and their business initiatives. But, you know, most of our relationships do end up being in support of the corporation's desire to be altruistic too, and they really do want to give back to the community. But in our relationships over the years, we've really focused on our outreach by way of our services or the products that our corporation provides or through advocacy work. And now with Colby's involvement in development through accessibility advising. So we've really focused on strategizing our corporate support approach, and it's primarily across three areas. Now, our DC annual DC Leadership Conference, the annual conference and convention in July, and our Audio Description Awards Gala. And we're also including now the Health and Wellness Initiative and the Get Up and Get Moving campaign. Colby, do you want to jump in, to add any points there? I mean, our strategy's been to confirm the existing partners that we've already had. We're identifying new partners, and something that we're doing that's a little bit different now, we're assigning leads from ACB staff and membership so that we're really trying to find across the board people to begin to establish relationships or continue our existing relationships. So it's the right person to reach out, right person within ACB to reach out to the right person in the corporation. And after we've built that relationship, then we start to make the request for support. But Colby, you've joined the team. Right now, our primary contacts are Scott, you, Dan, me, Swatha, and Claire, along with Bill Reeder, who came on board in 2022 as our interim interim development director. But I know, Colby, through your work in accessibility, you've been able to, along with Claire, identify more prospects. I know you went to several conferences this year, and both you and Claire were able to reach out to folks.
Yes, I had the privilege of going to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Went by myself, which was very overwhelming in moments because it was absolutely huge. And then I got to go to CSUN as well. And that's also, through those experiences and representing ACB, it was like, accessibility is huge and I love it. And I just, it was like a light bulb went off for me, in that regard. And, but it does matter. And that is a lot of how some of our relationships, particularly our new ones, have started.
Exactly.
Is because we've talked about, accessibility and, hey, we're ACB is here. You have one of the things I know, and Jolyn, you kind of touched on this, is when you're talking to a corporation, you want to make sure that you sort of figure out over time what's known as a values exchange. And that basically means we are, what can we do for you and how can we work together? But making sure that the corporation gets, something too, out of, whatever that may be. So whether it's exposure or improvement of accessibility or, it could be a many, many different things. But that's something to always keep in mind, particularly like when you're dealing with a corporation is, how can you work with them to work with you? It goes back to
exactly
Helen Keller quote, together. Alone, you could do so little, but together, you could do so much. And I know Claire touched on that yesterday in the legislative session that we had. And so that was a point that resonated with me. So that's something to always keep in mind in development when you're
talking about. And a phrase you'll often hear there is, it's called cause-related marketing, and it's kind of that you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But of course, it goes far beyond that. But if you're working with, if you're reading about development and corporate development, you'll hear that phrase, and that's cause-related marketing. Hobi, you touched on how accessibility factored into deepening relationships or providing an additional source of support. And I'd like to just chat a little bit about our development with JP Morgan Chase and also with Sony, and then you know what's happened there. But with JP Morgan Chase, in addition to the convention support they have provided, they provide our generous convention support as a diamond sponsor. And then, of course, they support the J.P. Morgan Chase Fellows Program. In our discussions with them, we were offered the opportunity to take advantage of an in-kind program through them called Code for Good and now Force for Good. And both Rick Morin and Cindy Hollis have been able to participate in that beginning last fall with in a hackathon to actually think of some solutions to a problem that community was having in terms of their scheduling. And Colby, I think you would know more about that in terms of exactly what went on, because, of course, you were working with community for so long. But it evolved from the Code for Good, which is college students getting together to kind of brainstorm solutions. And out of that, we were eligible to participate in Force for Good, which took those ideas and through the professional team at JP Morgan Chase, we're actually developing a solution. And Rick Warren is our lead for that right now. It's a 4-month program, and Cindy Hollis also participates. But Colby, did you have any thoughts on that? Because that did relate, of course, to accessibility and trying to make things more workable.
I think it also shows that, you really have to have input and help and assistance from the people who know the subject matter best, that you might be, seeking a grant or donation for. So bring in others to collaborate with you if they know more about the subject matter than you do, just so you have as broad of a perspective and as much information, because that's always going to give you a better grant, proposal or even just a getting that grant and getting that funding. Mm-hmm.
And then one of our newest corporate partners, Sony, approached us last year through an unsolicited email to Colby. She was new as our development officer. Sony just reached out and said, we're looking to part with a disability organization. We're trying to increase our DEIA profile. And we began discussions with them, and we're just having the most wonderful time with them, as we develop our relationship. But last year, as part of, their contribution, they offered us, a Sony product, the Sony Link Buds, which we distributed, at this year's leadership conference. And we will also be giving them to folks at convention and then, mailing them on to affiliates. But we had Deb Cook-Lewis and Colby test them before we distributed them. And Colby wrote basically a very brief manual on how to use them because the directions weren't particularly accessible. So I'm going to turn it back to you, Colby, just to offer your perspective on that. And Cole, and by the way, Sony was delighted to receive that document. They were just thrilled to have that. And it caused them to think about accessibility and their products in a little bit different way.
Okay. Yeah, I was excited that they liked that. That was, didn't know I could add documentation writer to my resume. But the Link Buds, for people who may not know, they're wireless earbuds, but they are designed in a way they sit, when I say they sit inside your ear, they rest against your ear canal. They don't go in your ear canal. And they're designed so that you can still hear your environment while listening to audio. And if I could get them to stay in my ears, they'd be great. But they fall out for me. But you know, it, that again goes back to the accessibility. I mean, I was unboxing those and I couldn't tell what went where. Right.
I walked you through, I remember we walked through that together and pick this up, open it this way. There's a flap that turns to the right and then up.
Yeah. But it's, you know, so if you can do something like that to help, you know, a corporation, help them improve their accessibility, that goes back to that values exchange. You have the knowledge of how, you know, things aren't accessible because we live it on a daily basis. So if they're willing to listen and willing to implement your feedback, then that could start, I mean, that's just how you could cultivate your relationship with them. You know, let us help you improve your, I don't know, restaurant website or whatever it might be. But that's another way to think about, you know, having that values exchange.
I'd like to just bring you up to date on this year's convention sponsorship as sponsorships. We have worked very hard over the last couple of years to increase the overall list of sponsors we want to cultivate. But there's been so much good discussion among the team and members of the corporations. We've had some great conversations and have started to really develop some strong relationships. And this year, our goal for convention sponsorships is $344,000. And we had a wonderful end to the week in that Sony, our newest partner, decided to sponsor at the diamond level. And CVS came in as a ruby. And that has brought our total over the $300,000 mark. Our goal this year is $344,000. And with Sony and CVS, we're now at $326,000 and counting. And we still have a few coming in. So I feel really good. I think we all do about our approach, our in-depth and broad approach to cultivate our corporate sponsors. And beyond the monetary support, we're developing some robust relationships, which are focusing on accessibility and on products and on advocacy and ways that we can give, you know, provide that value added experience for them.
I think a key to that is staying engaged.
Yes.
You find a corporation that you want to work with and they seem respond positively to your outreach. Stay engaged with them, you know, continue to send them emails, like not just, you know, obviously always say thank you. If they do choose to make a donation, but keep them up to date with what, you know, what are you working on? How else, you know, could they be involved? And, you know, if you start a new initiative that is based off a relationship with a corporation, you know, again, goes back to that values exchange. That's another way to keep that conversation going and stay engaged, you know, year round, not just after the donation comes in.
Exactly.
Jolynn, do you want to jump into foundations?
Yeah. I'm looking at our time. I want to make sure that I keep this brief so Scott can jump into
it.
I'm
kind
of timekeeping as well. Exactly. Foundation support usually, well, at least for ACB, it comprises a smaller portion of our support. You know, the largest, of course, is individual, and we're building our corporate portfolio out. But about 12 years ago, when Tom Tobin came on board as ACB's development director, ACB began to expand its, to actually create a formal grant program and expand it. It has grown, but as I said, it remains a smaller source of income for ACB. But what's great is we've continued to cultivate our original funders. Again, those relationships, even as we transition in our leadership positions, we make sure that there's someone there to take over and keep up that relationship. So we've added a few new foundations and are now focusing, kind of going back and looking again at our priorities. And this one thing I would recommend is affiliates is when you begin to look for grant funding, you focus on your existing programs and services too. What are you already doing? What are your strengths? Find that alignment. Just real quickly, at the basic level, a grant's just an award of money that's given to a charity, a nonprofit. It could be a unit of government. For example, in our government, people bid for grants, or it can go to an individual. And most likely, you're going to want to ask for program support or general operating support. There's also capital campaigns, but that's unless you're building a new, new office or a school or something, that's probably not going to apply to the affiliates. ACB is, we receive our grants primarily for program support and for general operating support. And our sources, there are different kinds of grant sources. There are government agencies, and for many foundations, for many nonprofits, that's going to be a large source of revenue. Private foundations and family foundations, and then there are some public foundations, and ACB participates in all of those. For example, we have a relationship with the Gibney Family Foundation, and so that's going to align with specific priorities. And interestingly, our first grant with the Gibney Family Foundation was in support of community, and it allowed us to bring on Colby. So in her very first position, she, worked for community, and the Gibney Family Foundation sponsored her and has gone on to increase their support for our community program. And currently we are developing a proposal to the Gibney Family Foundation, which will be in support of creating an accessible fundraising curriculum. And so that will be something that both our affiliates can use and individuals who are blind or have low vision can take advantage of.
If you're interested in
entering
the development profession, because one of the things, and I'll touch on this just because you said something that reminded me of it. I remember when Bill first approached me, and I'll talk about this tonight too, but he said, would you be interested in doing fundraising? And I said, you want me to do what? I don't have experience. I wouldn't know the first thing about it. And so he started teaching me. And as we started trying to just find books or articles or whatever, none of them were accessible. And so had to, figure out, okay, what resources can I utilize that would give me the information, I need to know. And I'll be honest, I learned a lot from experience. You can read a book all day long and get familiar with like the terminology and the vernacular and the lexicon and all those key terms, but really just doing it, digging in, diving in head first and doing it, has been valuable, to me.
I would agree, Colby. It's interesting as we were getting ready for this breakout session, to have to go back and actually put together notes about the formalities of fundraising is like Colby said, the words, the jargon, it's the terminology. It's almost foreign because when you're in the trenches, you're just doing it and it becomes part of your daily life. You think about relationships, you think about making sure you keep up your contacts and you look for ways to deepen those. But it's really on the job training more than anything else. And that's why it's so possible for affiliates to do this work. You don't have to go to school. It would be wonderful if you are interested to take the course that will be, or the units, the modules that will come out of this fundraising course. But it's really on the job training for most in the main.
One of the things sorry, Jolene, I don't want to.
No, that's okay. I'm done.
One of the things that I remember Bill telling me, he said, blindness is no barrier to being in the development profession.
Absolutely not.
And I was like, oh, Okay. And that has, inaccessibility is the barrier currently, but, you know, the fact that I can't see doesn't make being in the development profession impossible. And, you know, you'll come up with your own system. I know I had to, and, you know, I'm very detailed, very organized, just innately. I've always been that way. But keeping track, if you're in development or if you're doing fundraising on any sort of level, big, small, whatever it is, keeping track of, you know, just every little thing is very helpful and will serve you well over the course of, you know, as you progress and you bring in more money. And that can be, you know, using Excel, that could be using a Word document, whatever works best for you. But I highly recommend, you know, just being detailed and keeping track as much as you can. And that also gives you supporting materials when you go back to a corporation and ask them for another sponsorship, for example. So I know this is something Leslie does a lot with Florida. She makes sure that she can say, oh, last year you gave us $2,000. Would you be willing to give us $2,500 for our stuff for this year? Just keeping track is a point that I want to certainly make.
Okay. I just wanted to give you just touch base on where ACB is reaching out for its grant support. I did say we focused on our existing programs and services, so our current grants are going in support of Braille Forum, ACB Community, Audio Description Project, again, the accessible fundraising curriculum. We're starting to work on something for ERPS and for ACB Media as well. Information referral and peer support.
Peer support.
I shouldn't throw out an acronym without the full definition. But just as building corporate support, even the tiniest success will allow you to build on that. That's the same thing for grants. When you reach out to apply for a grant, start locally, start with your community foundations or family foundations. And for affiliates, there are probably more regional grants out there that you can apply for than what ACB National can do. We're in a unique position where it's actually harder to get from grant funding. From private foundations, family foundations, because we are national in scope. So look locally. But one of the advantages when you get that first grant, there is a multiplier effect. One award can result in, you know, another award. You get credibility once you have secured a grant, other funders will take notice, and you can actually leverage that success with one grant. Another funder will look at it and say, we'll buy into that because they're already getting support. Perhaps you can partner with someone. So don't give up, secure that first one and then you can build on it. You might have some questions later on, but we should probably turn this over to Scott to talk about ACB's future and
But he has a development background. Thank you.
He does.
Good morning.
There we go.
Development or fundraising is one of those things, and we have a great team at ACB. We're blessed with a very, very good team with JoLynn and Colby and then Bill and what he's brought to the group. So tremendous support there, but we all tend to kind of work together on certain things, like JoLynn mentioned, with our sponsorships for the convention. We all sort of pull together and tag team a lot of those things. And then the annual giving, they do as a team and the grants. But people get scared when they hear fundraising or they hear, and people sometimes wonder the difference between development and fundraising. Like, what's the difference, right? So fundraising a lot of times is literally you might be raising funds for one specific project, one specific initiative. Development is more of an overall, and you may see different definitions about it, but development is more of an overall approach to how are you moving your organization forward in terms of monetary support, but also other forms of support. It can also have to do with messaging. It can have to do with a number of different things. So when we talk about development, we're really talking about the future of an organization and sort of where we're going, and how we're developing our resources in various ways to make sure that we can achieve those goals that we're looking at. I do have people ask me occasionally, they're like, I've had a couple of the community calls where they'll say, well, what is your plan for 5 years from now, 3 years from now, that kind of thing. And our 1 year strategic plan is frankly more of an action plan. And so I really want to look at what that would be. And we're using a program called Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. The team started that before I came on board. And so that would actually have you look at a 10-year plan, which is hard to do, right? How many things change in 10 years?
How many things change in 1 year?
Yeah. So the economy, you know, all kinds of things can change. But a 5-year plan, that's often a strategic plan, can go 5 years. And so you want to look at, all right, where do we want to be in 5 years? And then work it backwards a little bit. You know, what is the thing we want to do in the fifth year, the fourth year, the third year, the second year, whatever it might be. And so I just want to let each of you know, as you're looking at different ways, you know, we can think of this as an update on ACB's development and, you know, tell you the things we're doing. And then we can also help. And I did, and JoLynn brought it up, I did sort of want to get an idea of who's in the room in terms of, you know, interest in fundraising or development or doing it for your own chapters or your own affiliates or whatever that might look like. But really for us, it's those long-term relationships, which has already been mentioned. So I would, the last couple of months, just since I came on board, has been a whirlwind of meetings with all kinds of different companies. I quickly discovered that I better take some control of my calendar, or other people would take control of my calendar. So when I had days where it was like, okay, I think I will be able to use the restroom at some point today. I'm not sure exactly when that will be, but you know, the meetings were just getting stacked and stacked. But think about it. It's companies like Amazon and Verizon and CVS and Sony. And, you know, it's just these amazing opportunities we have to meet with companies who are interested. And those relationships have been formed over the years in various capacities. And so really looking at a development structure that would say, instead of going to them sort of piecemeal, or saying, you know, we'd like 10,000 for this, and would you also like to do 5,000 for that? You know, eventually having a structure where we increase that connection, that cooperation and collaboration, we say, okay, just for this year, we're looking for this commitment from you. You will sponsor all of the things that we do, and then we're able to build that partnership further. Because it's when companies like what Colby did for Sony with the Link, Link Buds, right? Yes. You know, I should know the name of them. My goodness. Anyway, but you know, that page about how to use the Link Buds, or it's, you know, another organization like CVS with their new system, the Spoken RX system that you may be aware of. And so they're always looking for feedback from us, like, how is it working? Let us know what your members think of it, and all those kinds of things. That allows us to build relationships with these companies that goes well beyond, you know, a $5,000 contribution to this one event. We can keep that relationship going and hopefully build it into something even larger. But I just wanted to kind of really point out about development and fundraising as well, that many people look at fundraising as sort of selling. You know, fundraising is selling. I'm asking people for money, and I just can't do that. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, I can't do fundraising because I don't want to ask people for money. I just, it feels icky, and I don't want to do it, and whatever. But in reality, if you start to get into it, and I think the Fundraising 101 and 102 courses that are being prepared that will be accessible, and that's the key, will really help to teach people that fundraising or development is not about, you know, begging people for money and all of that, but it really is leading someone to the path to do what they've already decided in their heart they want to do. So if you deny them the opportunity to do what they already desire to do, then you're actually holding them back from something. You're not begging them to do something. And so many people want to help. They want to give. They want to do something in support. And so it may take a little bit of time, depending on the size of the gift and who you're cultivating. But it truly is helping them do something they already want to do and showing them how they can do it. It's not you out there begging for money. So it's a mindset shift that has to happen. So I think that's an important thing for people to realize at fundraising and development. But I could talk about fundraising and development and all of those things for a long time. But one of the things we are going to look at doing, and Joe about this, I'm sure she's super excited, but one of the things that we're looking at is increasing the level of of the grants that we go after and having those conversations, because it's grants are not always easy. People think, oh, well, it was a $5,000 grant. Oh, isn't that nice? That $5,000 grant could have taken hours. of staff time to get that done. Well, if we're going to spend hours upon hours of staff time, I'd rather it be for $100,000 than $5,000.
Exactly.
So we're going to find some ways and identify one of the issues, frankly, that we face is that we are a national organization, meaning that many of you, who are, I'll use the term hyper-local, right? You've got a chapter in a place or you have an affiliate in a place and you can really go after sort of local support for certain things. We have a national organization headquartered in Alexandria, Virginia, with a Minneapolis or a Brooklyn Center, Minnesota office. But we don't need capital money. We need program money. And so then we're looking at ways that we can do that.
And general operating support, too.
Capital money would be, isn't it like
if you I mentioned that earlier. Yeah, you're building a structure,
or physical structures.
Yeah, and capital can also be for, computers. It could be for other things.
That's true.
That's involved. True. But for us, we have a small staff. I hope you guys know how small but mighty our staff is. I hope everyone realizes that. But so much gets done by a small number of people, and I'm impressed so much every day. So, but do we want to go into questions, Julie?
Yes. I want to see if anybody has any questions. And thank you to whomever might be running the mic.
Hi, this is Cheryl Rayburn. First of all, Scott mentioned the entrepreneurial operating system. I can share that at Lighthouse Central Florida, we use that, and it is a wonderful management platform that can help drive the strategic plan of your business. So concur with Scott on that one. Second, I wanted to, and I only have three things, Scott. Second, there's a fantastic book called The Philanthropy Revolution. I recommend it for anybody who's interested in understanding more about development and fundraising. It's a story about a couple. Remember the movie The Matrix? Yeah. Well, they went overnight to becoming almost billionaires. So she, the wife of the husband, who was one of the two lead developers of that movie, all of a sudden was thrust into this world of giving because they established a foundation. And she found that it was really difficult to give her money away. So I recommend this book so that you can understand that people who have money want to give, how to give, and what they're wanting out of it. So that's my second thing. My third thing is grants are a wonderful tool in the development world. And I would like to have Colby or Jolene, just if you could explain, there's a lot of hours that can go into the front end of a grant, but to understand that on the back end of a grant, there are deliverables. And those deliverables can also be time consuming. Grants can be very, very worthwhile, but you have to have the ROI in place to understand, is the juice worth the squeeze? So could you expand on that a little bit?
This is Jolene, when you are evaluating whether or not a foundation is appropriate, that's one of the things you do look at is what those requirements are going to be. And you have to decide if you have the staff time or personal time to follow through, because many foundations will require not just an annual report to, detail how you've used the funds throughout the year, but some require quarterly reports, progress reports, A newer trend is participatory grant making, which I find ideal because you are walking through the grant year with a foundation officer. And so you're actively communicating back and forth. And very often that will allow you to get some help with your approach if you need to tweak grant throughout the year. But also it encourages a forward partnership that, you know, it helps to secure repeat funding. But Cheryl, you raise a point. When you're evaluating, it's not just preparing the grant, getting it out the door, having the interviews, providing financials, but you do have to be prepared to track that grant throughout the year. And that doesn't just mean the financials. It means working with key people involved in executing the program grant, making sure they're on track, providing assistance. So it can be quite complicated. I don't know if that helps, if that's enough detail.
She says yes.
She's Cheryl also knows that's why I prefer government grants, because they don't want much on the back end.
And Scott, I'm so thrilled because we really haven't had the capacity to do a government grant, and you've had the experience. So I know in conversation with you, you walked me through that. So I'm excited about actually
we'll see.
Securing one. Well, you never know.
New York would give out money like candy. All right, we have time for one more question. So who's it going to be? Who's the lucky person that gets to ask the last question?
Well, I think it's Stacia because I'm holding the microphone. Hi, everybody. So this is actually a question. I'm here with my partner in crime, Brian Smith, Audio Description Initiative. We are now a baby nonprofit. We got our approval last year. And so we are starting the journey of working on fundraising and learning this. We're on a very, very steep learning curve. So the quick question I had for the panel is, what do you consider the key documents, the key pieces of information that you need to have at your fingertips so that you're grant ready, so that when you're ready to start applying, what do I need to spend my time on right now, making sure I have ready to go before I start working with either partnerships or different things to apply for grants?
It's Jolynn. The first thing is you need to build your case for support. And I won't go into detail on that, but that would be number one. Number two, make sure you have your financials ready, your 990 budget that goes along with your case for support or your proposal. If you do consolidated financial statements in addition to 990, have those ready. You need to have your list of your board of directors or key people involved. There are probably 10 or 12, but work on developing a really good case for support. And then make sure you have your financials to back that up. Scott or Colby, do you have any additional?
Yeah, I was going to throw in, depending on the type of grant you're talking about, because that makes a big difference. I'm assuming you're not talking about capital, Stacia. Okay. So if you're talking about, in addition to just the list of your board members, a number of grants today are actually asking for breakdown of your board members for DEI purposes. And they want to know, people of different ethnic backgrounds. They want to know, details on your board members. So that's one that's relatively new, not completely.
It is. The DEI part is, Scott, but also be prepared to give your board members affiliations. Many of ACB's board members are retired, but we give their affiliation when they were working as well.
I was just going to say, and that case for support that Jolynn's talking about, so really, what is it about your organization? Why should they give you money? Break it down. What is the impact going to be of what you're asking for? I think that's a big one. Because a lot of people don't want to give money just to give money. They want to know what the impact is going to be to the community or to
why is this going to make a difference?
Why is it important?
And so you develop what is the need or the problem, how we're going to solve it, what will the outcome be, how are we going to follow through, how are we going to measure the results, how will this justify, the foundation's investment.
There's a lot to that. And I tell you what, Stacia, we'd be happy to talk to you, but Sheila, it's time for us to move on. Yeah. But we'd be happy to talk to you offline. And she is book. Your friend. That's
she
why she's
is
letting,
your friend.
She's going an extra 30 seconds for you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sheila. Here we go.
All right. Can we give the three of these panelists a round of applause?
Yeah.
thank you all so much. This was very informative. At 11:15, AI with Technology Committee will be in here. And at 11:15, audio description over in the anchor room. So I will see you in audio description if you're there.